Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I think one year I got, like, most improved left tackle in middle school.
Nice.
So I've got a trophy for that somewhere. Gold, I'd give you some sort of award for that little short film you put out from a pool in Las Vegas. Like, that's got to get you something.
Hey, Briscoe, since we've got you, I know we can't take this. I would like to build a bronze bust of Steve Spagnuolo. They say they don't want me to raise the $10,000 for it. I suggested maybe a Spags gala that we could all attend in order to pay for it. Thoughts on Spags bust being paid for now by us, the fans?
I paid, I think, $70 for an In Spags We Trust t-shirt. So if you could just give me, like, a brick on the ground that says, like, not even Joshua Briscoe, that just says, like, at JB Briscoe, if I can give you, like, $100 to go into the Spag statue, I think that's a pretty good idea. Do you know where you're going to put it? Like, you know, would it go
I'm taking it directly to
Arrowhead?
The facility,
would you go
yes.
put it in Kansas and try to, like, coax the team over there anyway? Does it just go in Spags' backyard? Does Maria get to take it? I don't know.
I am directly delivering it to, or one of us is, to the facility to see if they'll just put it up there.
But if not,
Spags can take it home. I'm open.
Visualizing security tackling Cody as he's carrying a box towards the facility.
But we could do facsimile signatures to Briscoe's point. We could do facsimile signatures for anyone who donates on the bottom of the statue.
You could also get this done cheaper without going, like, full bronze. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, carve it out of foam. I want it to stand, but I think there might be some other ways. I mean, I'm sure you've done the legwork here to figure out what's the most cost-effective way to immortalize.
Yeah, like plaster and other stuff, but I feel like that's not immortalizing him well enough.
No,
I think if you're doing this, it needs to be a bronze. And a guy who makes them locally for the Chiefs Hall of Fame says he'd do it for $10,000.
I mean, I guess, get out your Venmo, I guess. I think we could raise this money pretty easily, and that would be a hell of a grassroots campaign, man.
I'm going to get $100 out of you, Gold.
No chance. And what the funniest thing about this whole thing is, I know Briscoe's a big fan of Steve Spagnuolo, but like 2 years ago, I had to convince the very man that's trying to start the bust movement. The very man. I had to convince you that
it was 2 years ago, but it was.
That's what's funny. But anyway, let's talk about. Well, we can start with this defense, though, heading into the Broncos game. Yeah. We were discussing the Broncos offensive line. Surprisingly, one of the better units and pass downs in the NFL. This is a really good test, it feels like, for the front four. We know Spags can manufacture blitzes, but can they get pressure now that Mike Dana is going to be back in the mix?
Yeah, and I think you hopefully want to see a little more Joshua Uche as well, a very, very limited debut for him last week, and he's a completely different type of pass rusher in that mix. Having Dana back is certainly a good thing, but you kind of know what his suite of moves are, right? I mean, he and Karloftis both kind of have this, like, cave-in, march-you-back kind of pressure while Chris Jones is crushing the middle. That's a good mix. It's just different than what you're hoping to see out of Uche or really kind of what even you may hope to see from Felix, although he's been better on first and second down so far, which is kind of funny, but still a positive. It will be an interesting test, though, because to that point, and Spags talked about this in his pressers yesterday. You know, somebody asked about, can you tell that Bo Nix has played a lot of college ball? And somebody asked about, you know, just another rookie coming in and how good he's been against rookies. And Spags, very fittingly and very in character, said something like, yeah, we get all these rookies. I just keep wondering when we're going to get one that's not so good. It's like, all right, Steve. Like, I think he's 1-11 against rookie quarterbacks, as the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs with last Christmas and Aiden O'Connell's, you know, scoreboard lighting performance being the one exception there.
The one completion in the second half.
Yeah, that guy. So that wasn't exactly Spags' fault there either. So I think he's going to bother Knicks. The interesting thing, though, to that point, is that he does, he has seen a little more football than your average NFL rookie, and I wonder if the Chiefs do want to be blitzing or try to rely on that front four a little bit more. I think they have more, the best suite of talent they've had in that unit in a really long time, adding Uche and getting healthy with Anna. I am very, very intrigued to see what that relationship looks like between how Spags attacks Bo Nix and how Nix responds to that over the, even just the first couple of drives, I think will be pretty telling. Give it two or three. Don't react off the first one right away. But by the end of the first quarter, I think we're going to have a pretty good idea of how that's going, and maybe if Spags is going to come out in the second half with something totally different.
When you look at what the Chiefs are going to do offensively, because this is like the only thing that makes Denver annoying. Yep. They're good in the trenches, right? Like, yep, just enough to frustrate you. Offensive line-wise, where is your confidence level now versus the beginning of the season? They've settled into Wanye. Juwan's okay. Middle's great, obviously. The center of the offensive line is fantastic.
My inclination was to say that I'm in a slightly less confident place than I was before the start of the season, but I think that's me reacting to the negative a little bit more than the positive. Left tackle's been a little worse and right tackle's been a little better. So I don't want to just get Juwan Taylor to the point where he's been competent and frankly better than that, and then I just forget to even acknowledge him, because that's what the middle of the O-line often is. You get highlights, and at worst case, you're trusting total competence and confidence in that trio. Juwan Taylor has really been playing some good football for the majority of this season, getting the penalties behind him. So that has been an important step. I am worried with the Broncos pass rush that has just sort of overachieved and overperformed consistently throughout the year. I don't think it's fluky. I'm just a little surprised by how they got here.
Yeah.
The fact that you do have some distrust on the left side with Wanya Morris, also the fact, and I think, I don't know if Nate brought this up or if it was a commenter during our show yesterday, but the field is also going to be at the most tested the Arrowhead turf has been in ages. You obviously have the game last week, you have KU there on Saturday, and then the Chiefs and Broncos are out there at noon. It sounds like the grass is going to stay a little bit longer, and like it was a little longer against the Bucks as well, to try to help it weather all that activity. All that to say, if you get another wet, long grass, messy game, I don't need Patrick Mahomes on a bum ankle trying to outrun whoever Wanya Morris loses to, when that inevitably happens a few times. And maybe it's yet another 25 carry game for Kareem Hunt to try to offset your point there about the Broncos' strength in the trenches.
Am I hearing Josh Briscoe setting the stage for people to be critical of the university in Lawrence, that would be Kansas, if there's an injury, or if Kansas, if KU plays there, they rough up the field and the Chiefs were to lose on Sunday? You're saying we were going to be blaming the University of Kansas. That's what I heard.
What I'm saying, that's certainly not what I said. What I will say is, if that happens, you can start getting angry at the decision makers many, many levels up.
Okay.
That will not be anyone's fault for any of the players, certainly, from the University of Kansas. If you want to talk to Mark Donovan or something, that's fine. But I mean, to this point, it seems like it's been okay. And the Chiefs The Chiefs have a legitimately excellent staff that monitors all of that. Like, it really is one of the best in football, and there's been stories of that over the last several years.
Yeah,
but it's something to watch.
No, I hear you. No, I was giving you a hard time. I think it'll be fine as well. We actually are coming out later on today, maybe, with our official, the first ever, I don't think anybody's ever done it, you know, the groundskeeper rankings. You know, we do power rankings. We're going to do it for groundskeepers in the NFL.
That's really good. I have some real thoughts about Eddie Mangan and the Super Bowl where the field turned to slate on the ground with paint freezing in place. I can come back for that segment if you'd like.
I'm just saying, for our insider, I mean, right after that bad Super Bowl field, we straight up, the man himself, right? The sod father said,
yes.
I'll tell you off the record. I'll tell you exactly what I think. He said he wouldn't come on the air, though. He told us.
Oh, really?
He buried the NFL and the people who were taking care of the field. But that man keeps it private.
He buried Eddie Mangan on the Lebatard show.
Yeah.
That's the one that I remember, because it was just like a 20-minute like piece of performance art. Just listening to this old man who is a legend of his craft with no bleeps left to give, just saying, here is what they did wrong. Here's how I would have done it better. Here's who's at fault. It was an incredible airing of grievances.
Obviously, one of the smallest things, and this only matters probably a little to our audience, one of my favorite things about him as a person is that essentially in the Super Bowl, he's a petty thief. He takes towels and stuff and then labels them from what Super Bowl to like give them to presents as people. He just takes like little things off the bench and gives them to people. What an amazing thing to do.
George Toma, legend. Just absolutely a legend.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI. What about the injury situation? Juju Smith-Schuster, Turk Wharton did not practice again yesterday.
Yeah,
but Mike Dana's back. Nazi Johnson's back for this thing on Sunday.
Johnson being fully back is huge. He hasn't been limited at all this week, so that's obviously a good sign. Juju, I'm like perpetually kind of in that state of worrying about. I mean, it's funny, like it was the week after his big game, you go, you know, I just don't build the entire offense out of Juju because you don't know when he'll just sort of disappear for 4 or 5 weeks. We're in that now, and they remember that hamstring for Juju popped up in a week of practice leading up to the Niners game, and then he played for a tiny bit and then exited. We're getting close to IR territory from that cutoff. So I think the Chiefs and Juju, for that matter, have been kind of trying to track what exactly is going on there. It's not great, but I don't think it's going to matter against the Broncos. And obviously DeAndre Hopkins has solved a lot of those issues since the last time that Juju was on the field. Nazi Johnson's the biggest positive there, I think. Wharton, Andy Reid said on Wednesday, was a knee contusion, so thinking like a bruise and everything, where you shouldn't be long-term concerned about it being a knee, but I could see certainly if he doesn't practice today, I'm assuming he won't play on Sunday, and that is a loss. He's been excellent, but the Chiefs do have enough depth at D-tackle. Maybe you get a little more Derek Nnadi and Mike Pennell to kind of offset that. Again, stuff that I don't think will cost them against the Broncos, and that might be more important, honestly, certainly for Juju and probably for Wharton. Be ready to go for Buffalo next week, and we'll be able to make it work against Denver on Sunday.
As it sits right now, not the entirety of the accomplishments on the season. As it sits right now in week 10, are the Chiefs a top five offense in the NFL?
Yeah.
See, I'm curious because I think if you asked nationally, the answer would be no. But they're just ignoring all of the third down efficiency, the 28 points a game they're scoring over the last 4 weeks. I think I'm with you. But I think if you asked nationally, Briscoe, that's not what the answer would be.
No, I think you're probably right about that, and I think it's a little bit of fantasy football, a little bit of red zonification of all of our brains, and also just knowing what the standard for the Chiefs has been. And again, you know, we've been in this literally every single day for years and years and years, but I think a lot of people still think about the 2018 Chiefs as being the peak of Patrick Mahomes. It's not the peak of him as a quarterback, but it was statistically, and frankly, like in a lot of ways, it was the most fun. And so I think you could look around, and in some ways there's a little bit of truth to the idea of like, how can they keep doing this without Tyreek Hill? That was the best they were supposed to be. That was when Travis Kelce still had the fountain of youth on his side. The funny thing now, though, is if you do watch it every week, you can be a little bit surprised by the evolution, and it's an impressive evolution at that. But you're telling me that this offense, with Patrick Mahomes, with Travis Kelce back in 100-yard game territory, with DeAndre Hopkins looking like DeAndre bleeping Hopkins, and everything else they've been able to do in the running game with the offensive line, it's pretty evident to me that this is absolutely a top-five offense, whatever, from here on out, or however you want to set it. But I understand how the highlights don't tell that story. Like, if you are just watching a little bit of every offense, you're kind of trying to keep up with the box scores and everything. It isn't evident that way when you watch the games it is, and not to, you know, pat our collective selves on the back. But, like, that's the power and the importance of local media, right? Like, even the national analysts that do a really, really good job, and there are plenty of those, even they have only so many hours in the day. When all we do is watch Chiefs football for 6 months, and soaking into all of the details that this team has put out there, we can see, this offense does move the ball incredibly well. They were held back by red zone issues and turnovers. They're beginning to fix some of those, and they're clearly a top five offense in that regard now, in my mind.
Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI. Appreciate it, man, and we'll check in next week.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.